All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. Today we have on with us Mr. Jamie Walden. Me and Jamie are just going to have a conversation, let you guys be along for the ride. As per usual, me and Jamie typically have like an hour-long, absolute maniac, awesome conversation, and then we get on the radio, and half of it's not even as good as the post. So we're just gonna roll this. And
that's how I'm always like, bro, just hit record, man, because start babbling and bumping our gums, and it's like, bro, just hit record because we're covering some ground here.
So what we were originally talking about, let's just replay this whole thing again. What we were originally talking about was you're building a new studio. So you can have your own studio, because Jamie, you and I are dads. We have lots of kids running through the houses. You can hear mine half the time. I can hear yours half the time.
Yeah, this is my prayer room, bro. This is where I read the word and where I pray every morning. You know, like, this is my prayer room. So since we moved out here to Colorado, I'm like, dude, I need an office because I'm a gear queer. Can I say that word? I love to see, like, I have so much gear. I have so much stuff, everything from outdoor adventuring to expeditionary based stuff, plus the tactical side of the house. And I'm like, I just like to see my own gear laying around everywhere. So I need an office where I can have my junk literally strewn about. So
just a ready room, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Well, and you know, I'm in the basis of doing the same thing. I'm in, you know, it's funny because I was talking with some guys the other day, getting ready for an interview, and they're like, hey, you know, I know you're at the studio, you know, making sure everything's on and working. I'm like, you think I'm like over here at like some Glenn Beck style studio? I mean, yeah. It's a freaking spare bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, we ain't making that kind of money.
So, no.
Not for what we do. So, you know, we were talking about how I'd cut my hair. If nobody knew this, my hair is no longer down past my shoulders. I actually cut my hair, my long, beautiful hair. And I'm going back to my retrograde 1950s look that I rocked for like a freaking whole decade. And we were talking about how my research into the 1950s, well, really from the 1920s and onward with technology, has really led me into the way I like to, I guess you could say, hone in on topics. I'm fascinated by the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and the research that we did, because it started very occultic, and then the technology just started hitting out of nowhere once the occult came. You know what I mean? The occult happened in Germany, and then bam, technology.
And yeah, it was.
So I got real big into that. So I've got probably right now 150 pages worth of notes over the CIA and various operations that I'm like, man, this stuff is so cool. I can't believe we've done all this crazy, stupid stuff. And I mean, when I say cool, like, I'm just fascinated that we have gone as far as we have. And like you were saying a while ago, in 1918, World War I, we were doing cavalry charges. You know, I mean, we were trench fighting. So,
yeah. And that's the thing, is most people don't have context for the timeline, and therefore they don't have context for, you know, even biblical prophecy, because it's actually fulfillment of Daniel 12, you know, the time of the end. Many will go to and fro and knowledge will increase. So what it's speaking to in the Hebraic translations is exponential growth, not a, what's that called? What's that law of the doubling of technology? I can't remember what the name of it. Bode's law has to do with outer space. Anyways, doesn't matter. So most people don't understand, when you look at the history of humanity from Adam and Eve creation on, we won't get into antediluvian pre-flood super technologies, right? So we'll pretend like that's not a part of the history. But for post-flood, technologies have remained ultimately unchanged, with mild little a waveform in there up until the 1920s. You have 1918, as you were just saying, where we're still leading full on horseback cavalry charges against the new invention of a machine gun, which came out post Civil War. And that little 30-year gap between Civil War era with the, you know, Gatling gun and cartridge fed weapons and putting in, spiral into the muzzles to create more, you know, more accurate bullets and rounds and stuff like that. All the rifling, all that was like, that was profound technology to where you have horses running into machine guns, which were brand new and just wholesale slaughter. Combustible engines and all that was like the latest technology was this whole idea of a combustible engine versus steam engine. And then boom, 1920, right? It's like everything broke out. Everything broke out. And that's what most people don't understand is what was going on in the late 1920s to mid 1930s in Germany and elsewhere, but in particular in Germany and why it came about. Space-based weapons platforms, rocket propulsion, anti-gravitical propulsion through centrifuge mercury-based nuclear-based propulsion systems, right? Weapon systems that nobody even heard of. The science side of the house with Mengele at the helm and many other throughout the German scientific community. This is one of the reasons for the Great Solution, the utilizing of the Jews for these atrocities that we can't even comprehend. Same thing was going on over in Japan. With unit, what was it? I don't know, 70, whatever their genetic manipulation unit was over there.
Which was way worse than Nazis.
Way worse. And what they were doing against the Chinese. So again, people don't have context for why are China and Japan at each other's throats, right? So they had locked on to full on viable. This is what the research proves out. This isn't conspiracy theory. This is just straight up the context, historical context. They had figured out full-on viable human cloning in the mid-1930s. They had figured out anti-gravitical propulsion, technologies that we can't even comprehend by the end of 1930. We have this era of things that broke out on a scene that most people even today don't have the ability to conceptualize because they're normalcy bias won't allow them to understand the technologies. This was in the 1930s, and it happened literally in a matter of 10 to 20 years, it all broke out open. And it was at the same time that the new age of Aquarian occultism through Madame Blavatsky and Theosophy and the Thule Society in Germany through the Vril Maidens and this big giant occultic blood sacrifice thing was going on. And all the elites of Germany said that spirit guides were coming and giving them the understanding of the mathematics to do these sciences. That's what they said. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Doug's saying. That's what the leading German thinkers of the time were saying on multiple different levels, is that as they perform these rituals, spirit guides, beings of light, would come and impart to them special knowledge. And so you literally go from horseback to the UFO technology, right? Ours versus theirs, anti-gravitical propulsion, going into and from off-Earth bases and all that stuff. And a matter of 20 years, dude, are you kidding me? And nobody's connecting these things together. It's insane.
Well, war is always a driver for technology, you know. You went from the Bronze Age to the Iron Age to the Steel Age. War is always a driver of this. War, ingenuity. They always rotate around each other because men need a better way to kill each other. You know, if your army's bigger than mine, we're not going to stand in a phalanx anymore. I'm going to send a trebuchet from, you know, half a mile away at you. So, you know, it's the driver. And, you know, one of the things I still haven't been able to really find too much about is the metallurgy from Nazi Germany. You know, in World War One, with the introduction of like the first actual tank, which was just this the gigantic freaking more or less they up armored a train and put it on the battlefield, right? It didn't work very well, couldn't cross the trenches very well. And then we have composite armor, and you know, you get the Shermans and a bunch of other, you know, little bitty tanks, and then out of nowhere you have the super tanks, like the Tiger tank. And the thing that's crazy is, like, where did they create composite armor? You know, who told you? This is one of the things, like, you know, is this something that It's a question I ask, and I'm sure the answer's out there. I'm sure somebody knows it, but who told you to combine these metals and these composites together to make something that was anti-armor resistant? We're talking about, sending a 100-millimeter shell at you and your tank's deflecting it, and yet your tank is blowing through anything else. Where'd you get that from? And that's just one of the advances. People don't understand the Tiger tank, the advancement of the Tiger tank was so dangerous on the battlefield. I mean, one Tiger tank could easily take down four or five of ours, and their teams were good. Their drivers' teams were very, very good. They were all very, very well trained. And not to say that ours weren't. Ours were faster and more maneuverable. We just didn't have the heavy caliber yet.
Yeah, no, our rounds were bouncing off the Tiger tanks. I mean, they are basically indestructible. But it's interesting what you mentioned about the metallurgy, because at the root of metallurgy is alchemy, right? And so what's fascinating is this process of alchemical processes, which I just use the same word twice in one sentence, which is always super fun. But these alchemical processes is at the root of technological advancements and the medical advancements. So alchemy is actually one of those things, again, not to harp on it, but it's important to inform your worldview through this way, is the mystery school, mystery religion, occultic worldview. Whether or not you think it has value doesn't matter, because it has value to them. And by them, I mean the global elite. That's everywhere from the heads of governments and international banking systems to the military industrial complex, all the way down to your local level leaders, including your chiefs of police and your county road commissioners and your heads of your school boards. Almost across the board, they are steeped in occultism. Whether you know it or not, they are. It is the currency of the dark economies. It's occultism. And at the root of that occultism is alchemy. Because what alchemy does is it says you can become like God. You don't have to submit yourself under God. You can be your own gods. And actually, you can be creators yourself. Don't come underneath the creator. You can be a creator. So you can CRISPR-Cas9 genetic manipulation. You can make chimeric abominations with this interbreeding and intermingling of species and races, which they're doing. That's alchemy, right? You can take these special elements that don't exist in the periodic table of elements, which they don't. And then we have whistleblowers out of Skunk Works and other different top secret based weapons programs and avionics and aviation programs, saying that we have elements that don't exist on the periodic table of elements because they're alchemically produced. And we were given that technology by those guys, quote unquote, those guys gave us that technology. So again, when did all this break out? What you go from, like you said, bronze, iron age, right? Then you have metallurgy with steel, these basic alchemical processes, and then boom, overnight, you're able to send vehicles through the friction force of upper atmospheric pressures and tensions and heats into outer space and build space-based weapons platforms that can say, in 20 years that happened. And see, again, people aren't connecting the dots. So then that gets into even these technological advances with computing and quantum. Dude, do you even understand what Wi-Fi is? I have no clue. Like, how is little bits of pieces coming into my phone and then it's reassembled, and I can see it and hear it perfectly as if I'm seeing it in person? How in the world? And we know, like, we don't know. We scratched the surface on Tesla-based technologies, which, by the way, Tesla said that he was informed by a spirit guide who gave him the understanding of global Wi-Fi and a worldwide web. Nikola Tesla developed a worldwide web, or didn't develop it, but understood the process of it that was already in our atmospheric, nuances. In the 30s, 40s, and 50s, this dude was figuring this stuff out. And he says, because a spirit guide brought it to him, Wernher von Braun.
Let's go ahead and say it. It's a demon.
Exactly. Wernher von Braun, who and Jack Parsons, who started the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Oh, a spirit guide came and gave us the understanding for these technologies. By the way, Wernher von Braun was a Nazi scientist brought over under Operation Paperclip. It goes on and on and on. Most people don't know this. I don't share this too often, but my family member, a great uncle, was actually with Admiral Byrd on Operation High Jump. He was part of the OSS operating as quote unquote a chief geologist and was his right hand man. I have all primary source 35 millimeter film from Operation High Jump of him and Admiral Byrd flying around and scouting America One and America Two camps and doing the initial incursion from New Zealand with the armada of ships down to Antarctica, where they encountered Nazi UFOs. And I literally have the film that I had developed because I found it in a shoebox next to a medal from Antarctic Expedition with a little commendation talking about literally Operation High Jump. Pretty nuts, right?
You know, we're going to have to digitize that and play that now.
Yeah. So it's insane. Not only that, but he was at the table of the signing of the surrender in the Forbidden City of Japan to China, which no Westerner had ever been in. So I don't know. Nobody knows who Uncle Arthur truly was. All we know is Uncle Arthur was on Operation High Jump. Uncle Arthur was at the table at the signing of the armistice in the Forbidden City.
You've got the medal, right? His medal for it.
Yep. And Uncle Arthur also sat at the family table 1 week after the lunar landing, after the Apollo mission, and said, "You guys want to touch rocks from outer space?" That so all we know is whoever Uncle Arthur was, never married. He was literally like a real life Indiana Jones, supposedly worked for Stanford University under the geology department, but he was actually OSS, which later became the CIA. And all we know is he was at the table at every major event from the 40s to the 60s. And nobody knows anything else about him. He died with his lips sealed, but we found a shoebox kind of piecing certain things together. Anyways, where was I going with all that? Dude, the technologies are ridiculous.
Well, here, let's hover around Antarctica real quick. All right. So there are people out there who say that there are still Nazis, that there is still an underground base there. Of course, nobody can go out there because it's under like a worldwide jurisdiction. So, you know, and this agreement happened back in the 30s, early 30s, where more or less the NATO countries had said, we're not going to lay a flag claim for Antarctica. It'll be an exploration for everybody. And that still kind of holds true. The problem is Nazi Germany didn't believe that. And we know they did actually in New Schwabenland, they did build, places to put their vessels. They actually had their own little encampment out there. But it goes deeper than that. And, you know, I mean, man, you can get on Google Maps and you can't see everything in Antarctica still. There are still places where you'll see and you know what I mean by the government digitized blocks that blocks everything out. You know, the same thing we have on a lot of military bases, that there's a reason why those are there. And so it makes me, you know, think like, what is still going on in Antarctica? I, for one, believe Nazis never went away. I think they evolved. I think they adapted, just like Wernher von Braun did. He evolved. He adapted. He became a nationwide treasure, even though this man had over 10,000 Jews murdered to build the Vengeance 1 and Vengeance 2 rockets. So, you know, I think there's still something going on down there. I think it will eventually have something to play in the future. I think Antarctica will have a seat to play. One of the things that I keep trying to wrap my head around is when Byrd was flying over, because I've watched probably a good 8 or 9 hours worth of video before I ever did my research on this and came out. And like, I still couldn't probably talk about half the stuff I saw just because it's them flying, right? So it's just them flying. But I mean, you could see grass in the videos. You could see what looked to be like trees in some of the areas of the videos. There's, you know, freshwater lakes where there is brown grass all over and gigantic hills and mountains of coal. So this was a place that has an infinite amount of resources that the postmodern industrial countries wanted to get to, Germany, right? They wanted that. What else could still be there, though? I mean, we've heard the stories that there's aliens that live underneath there, that, you know, Lucifer's throne is underneath there. And I, this is my inquisitorial mind. Until I go there and I see it myself, I'm just going to say, okay, it's a possibility, but I'm not going to believe everything I'm told.
Yeah, it's interesting. I started digging into taking an expedition down there.
There's so many conspiracies.
And they won't let you in.
No, yeah. They won't. No.
You can't. You can do a quote-unquote touristy thing, but you're isolated to about 1 to 2 square miles, and then you're not allowed to go venture anywhere outside of that. And I'll add this with the Antarctic. I mean, we know it's significant to the entire narrative of what's going here, because now I can't remember what year it was. It was under the Abomination of Desolation presidency. But, you know, unannounced, the majority of all world leaders and heads of major religions met up in Antarctica unannounced, and nobody knows why they went down there and who they were talking to and what the meeting was about. There was never anything released about it. It was all scrubbed. All it was that every major world leader had their calendars scrubbed and they all met up in Antarctica one single time. I can't remember if that was 2012, somewhere in there. Don't quote me on that, 'cause I forget, it's been so long ago. But yeah, and that's like the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, the head of the Greek Orthodox Church, Obama, Kerry, a couple of our other head of states, the head of Russia, the head of France, the head of most of the NATO nations. I don't know how many of the Eastern Asian country leaders were down there. It seems like for some reason they were excluded, but they all met up in Antarctica unannounced, as if they were summoned for a very particular meeting. Side note too on Antarctica, as far as the hollow earth theory goes, I personally subscribe to the hollow earth because it's biblical. So flat earthers, don't ever send me any emails again about flat earth and tell me I'm a false teacher because my cosmology is jacked up. Like, I'm so over the flat earthers. That is the strangest thing ever. Hollow earth, however, I can prescribe to hollow earth because it is biblically spoken to in numerous ways about the things inside the earth, about those reserved in judgment inside the earth, about being brought down to the gates of Sheol, about being brought down to the gates of Tartarus inside the earth, about things coming up in the earth, about judgment being passed on those in heaven and earth and underneath the earth. So you have this language that oftentimes speaks to hollow earth, and you have this reemergence in the end times tribulation narrative, biblical narrative, not biblical narrative, biblical truth of things being released from the bottomless pit inside the earth, coming up onto the earth again and causing men's hearts to fail them for fear of what they see. So I subscribe to that. So why do I say all that? Well, you know, I don't want to give away too much that without permission from somebody, but I have a acquaintance known enough to me, bordering on, like, we've spent time together, we've shared drinks together, we've traveled together. So this isn't like a fleeting acquaintance, who was a submariner on a nuclear submarine, actually XO on a nuclear submarine. And he personally testified to operating underneath the ice and navigating the tunnels underneath the ice. So I have primary source of somebody who is actually in charge of the navigation in the tunnels of the tubes of ice underneath the ice. And he's like, yes, everything that you're saying, I can testify to. And he's like, we'll just leave it at that. So that's personal primary source.
So the way Hollow Earth is designed, the way people draw a lot of this stuff is that, here, let me try and bring this up, because otherwise I'm going to butcher this. It's not going to make any damn sense. I don't think it makes any damn sense.
Bro, you're that techie that you can do screen sharing?
Hey, man. I am the above and beyond Marine. Are you serious?
Dude.
Come on, man. Yeah, I think I prescribe to Hollow Earth. I don't prescribe to Flat Earth. But
no.
At the same time, you know, and recently I put out a thing where, you know, hey, do you want me to talk about Flat Earth and Hollow Earth for a lot of the subscribers? And, you know, I have a lot of people who believe in flat earth who listen to me. And, you know, this is just the way I feel, man. I don't step on anybody's views. You're an adult. You believe what you want. I believe what I want. And we'll be proved wrong or we'll be proved right. But Believing in hollow earth is not leading you, or believing in flat earth is not going to lead you to salvation. So, you know, who gives a shit? That's kind of my view, right? Sorry. You know, it's a cool discussion. Is it flat earth? Are we going to fall off of it? It's a cool theory, man.
That's where I lean to. I'm like, hey, man, I'm intrigued. I've dug into it like everybody else. You know, you go down the rabbit hole. And,
yeah, I've been curiously typing through the rabbit hole lately, you know, Google. There is some stuff that doesn't make sense. Does the government lie to us, Jamie? Yes. Has the government lied to us? A lot. Will the government continue to lie to us until Jesus returns? So, do we believe everything we're told? Do we believe everything that the NASA-holes tell us? No. All right? We can't prove everything, but you can't just go around disproving everything and then go, well, if you watch this YouTube channel and that YouTube channel, I'm like, come on, man. I'll do my own investigative work. I know how to do this. I'm a big boy. I can do this myself. But I do see merit. And I think there's a problem with flat earth that is not necessarily the flat earth. I think the problem comes into having such a distrust with the government, with the teachings, with everything you've ever been taught, that you start to form a little bit of a delusion. So you start to see a conspiracy behind every door. Now, that's not every flat earther, right? So nobody throw the fiery darts at me. I'm not saying every flat earther is like that. I'm saying I've arrested people like that, you know, and Jamie, you know where I'm going. I have been set there, you know, putting the handcuffs on the guys like, you don't understand. I'm from another dimension, and click, click. Okay, well, we'll go talk about this later. You know, I mean, you have some people that are just off their rocker, but can still make a lot of sense. You know, I've sat there and listened to hobos that you would think were a college professor. And you're like, who the hell is this guy? Right. And then, you know, a bird flies by, and that son of a bitch stole something from me, you know, and, oh, and there he goes, you know. But here, let's look at this, this little diagram of flat earth or hollow earth for a second. All right. Jamie, you see that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So here's my problem with hollow earth. And I've been in caves. The earth obviously is porous. It's cavernous. But what I don't believe is there's a sun in the middle of the earth. I don't believe that there are floating continents on the inside middle of the earth, like all these, you know, cool names that they have. That's just my personal opinion. I don't believe the North Pole and the South Pole have these gigantic holes in them that you can't fly over, and everything, you know, rotates and flies around it, and you'll never see it. Because for one thing, if we're going to put something into geosync orbit, all right, a satellite that's going to do this into geosync orbit, that's a lot of math that has to happen. A lot of math and a lot of space debris and a lot of things floating around. And, you know, people will say, oh, well, you know, all that stuff's not real. Okay, it's real because the military uses it. If you don't think it's real, there's something floating in the sky that can level your city right now. Go ahead and think it's not. All right. But there's a lot of math that goes involved in circling stuff and not hitting everything. How is it that the satellites never saw this? You know, and I get it. People will always say, well, you know, you're not always going to be able to see what they want you to see. Roger, I understand that. But I can't invent an entire train of thought around a what-if conspiracy, because then it starts
to lead to so many other things. Yeah, that's the danger, is that where do you draw the line, you know? it's what's functional and what's going to be productive and what's going to be edifying, you know? So a lot of these things, there's even specific scriptures that speak to, you know, the endless babbling about mythos and genealogies, which leads people to stumble. You know, there's another verse that talks about quarreling and arguing over basically what it words as unknowns, which leads people into more and more ungodliness. I just read that this morning in 2 Timothy 2. So it's like, it's interesting that even the Lord is very careful to address those things. And so you look at the propensity of the human psyche to run after and worship things that they don't fully understand because there's some kind of personal gain in it. There's some kind of dopamine release. There's some kind of thing. Notice like the deification of and the sainting within the Catholic Church and the worship of angelic beings rather than the one who created the angelic beings. It's like the human predisposition will run after and cling to and actually worship and deify anything other than the true and better creator and his son, Jesus Christ, that's been revealed to him in full. So that's why these things become increasingly dangerous. It's like, yes, we need to have an operational knowledge of our government. Yes, we need to have an operational knowledge of central banking and these things around us. We need to have an operational knowledge of mystery schools and mystery religions and how it relates and informs our current worldview and why we do what we do in the world around us, right? These things inform us. But they shouldn't, we need to major in the majors and minor in the minors. They shouldn't ever become superior to what does have value. And what has value is families, biblical manhood, a warrior priest culture. What has value is the saving of souls, the binding up of the brokenhearted, the setting of enemy captives free. What has value is truth, knowing the truth that sets men free. That's what all of it should lead to, is a revelation of the truth. But what's interesting, especially again, in regards to the end times personality, the end times posture, is it specifically says they'll be lovers of self. They'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll have the form of God, but they'll deny the power thereof. They'll be proud, abusive, arrogant. Have you ever talked to a flat earther? They are abusive to you, right? They'll be proud, boastful, abusive, arrogant. It goes on and on. And here's what else it says. It says they will always be learning, but never able to come to an understanding of the truth. Because the truth is actually the person of Jesus Christ. That's, he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. But they're always, so they're taking in the next conspiracy, the next conspiracy, the next conspiracy. And they have to one up. Alex Jones is the Russian plant, right? Like they have to always go to the next level because it's a broken cistern and they cannot be satisfied. Well, they're not satisfied with relationship, with being a productive member of society, with carrying forward the gospel, with leading their families while loving their wives and their children and leading from the front in their homes. They are not satisfied. So they sit around and they consume podcasts and broadcasts one after the next with an insatiable appetite. And at the end of the day, they are broken spirited. They are broken hearted and they alienate everybody from around them. And they actually have zero influence with people. So at the end of the day, the enemy gets his way in them and makes them completely nullified in the culture and in their families and in the relationships around them. But they got all the latest, greatest conspiracies stored up in their brain and on the tip of their tongue, you know?
See, that's always been my problem with the flat earthers. And I've never subscribed to the theory. I think it's a fun theory. You know, I think
sure. It's intriguing, man. It's worth digging into. It's intriguing, but whatever.
Some of the math doesn't make sense. And hey, man, for two Marines sitting here talking to you, math doesn't make sense to us either.
Yeah.
You know, it just comes down to the fact that flat earth itself has become a occultic like religion.
Absolutely.
When you have a conversation with these people, and I actually have friends who believe in flat earth who will have a scientific conversation with you. I'll have that all day. I'll have a civil, scientific-based conversation with somebody all day long. What I don't want is I don't want to be lectured to. I don't want to have a snippy little comment where some guy will say, hey, do you believe in flat earth? No, I don't believe in flat earth. Well, you know it's a conspiracy. Well, obviously the conspiracy is working, right? And that'll be my response. Well, that must be because you don't read your Bible. Let me tell you something. For a man who was raised in sin, who lived a life of sin, and who gave it away, I take great offense to another, quote, Christian telling me that I'm not Christian enough to understand the Bible because I don't believe in flat earth and I haven't seen the like eight verses that they use to describe flat earth. And this is where I'm talking about dangerous.
Yeah.
Are you it's a very Christian dangerous. Or are you a flat earther?
It's funny, dude, that you should bring that up because I don't know if you've ever listened to any of the other broadcasts I do, but I say the same thing. I said the number one email that I get, number one and number two, is you're a false teacher and you're not saved and you're from Satan because you don't believe in flat earth. And the other one is you're not saved. You're a false teacher. You're of Satan because you don't quote from King James only Bible. And I'm like, dude, obviously you're not reading it either. Cause you wouldn't say that if you're same thing with a flat earth. I'm like, obviously you're not reading your word either. See, you're surrounding yourselves with great teachers telling you what your itching ears want to hear. What your itching ears want to hear is these particular sensational tidbits. That's what your itching ears want to hear. You're always learning, but never able to come to a revelation of the truth. So anyways, yeah, not to harp on the flat earth stuff. I know we have other things to get into, but
it is
fascinating. It seems to be a significant, amazingly strategic psyop of the powers of darkness to insert this into the normal Christian lexicon to create all kinds of retardation that should never have existed in the first place.
And this, once again, this comes with the problem of it. And I'm gonna do something right now that not a lot of people on YouTube do. And I'm actually gonna show people why you have people that will talk about flat earth and hollow earth and spectacular stuff that a lot of it is just made up. It's rumor based upon some dumbass guy's speculation of science from the 17th century who was proved wrong by science, but you have a cult-like following, like the Cult of Cthulhu, completely made up by Lovecraft, but there are people out there murdering people in the name of Cthulhu, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, be careful of what you do, but you know what it really comes down to, Jamie? It comes down to money. It comes down to money. And I'll tell you why it comes down to money. You see this? This is how many different times I get demonetized. All these things that are yellow. Oh, yeah. Hey, buddy. Doug doesn't get paid to speak anything that has truth in it. All right? That is what YouTubers won't show you. Now, I can pull up here where it says monetization. You'll see where I've made $29 since I started YouTube.
Yeah, right, bro. Like, crushing it.
Yeah, crushing it, man. I finally get my six pack, you know, because of inflation, right? So, you know, if you put up something like a dog walking backwards in a tutu or a cat in a vest playing a piano, you'll get 1 million subscribers and views and tens of thousands of dollars. If you put up anything that has to do with truth, like I'm going over psycho weapons from CIA, and I'm surprised it was even monetized. The last time it was red lighted, demonetized. When they say limited, there is no monetization when it's limited. It's either green and you got a little bit of commercials or you got nothing. That's just that is what it is. And we're not going to be long on YouTube, buddy. YouTube's going to take us out. You're not going to make money on Rumble. Not unless you have like 20,000 subscribers. So, you know, for guys like you and I to find platforms to speak the truth, to enlighten the flock is what I like to say now. I like to enlighten the flock. Those avenues are disappearing, but they're not going away. They're disappearing for bold men of God. But for the ones who want to believe in delusions, the ones who want to live in a state of madness, this is your platform. YouTube will be it.
Yeah, the clickbait is the big thing. Sensationalism of clickbait, you know, and it's predatory at its core. It really is. So, you know, you can have a quip of a dialogue of, you know, things that are speculative or maybe more on the sensational side of the house. You can have a dialogue, because it is interesting, right? It's interesting to wrestle out these potentialities and what ifs and stuff like that. But when people use it strategically as a clickbait, it's for monetary gain and it's predatory at its core. Yeah. And there is too much in the, I don't know what you would call our sphere, truther-ish-esque movement, right? There's too much sensationalism and hyperbole in the truther movement, so much so that the true ruling elite actually laugh and mock at the majority of people like us.
Yeah.
Because it's not informed and it's not buffeted by truth, by logic, by empirical data, by objectivity, and by the spirit of the Most High God through his son, Jesus Christ. It's not buffeted by that. It's like outlandishly outlandish, and it's enough to keep you ineffective. It's enough to keep you docile and behind your keyboard or as a keyboard warrior, consuming. Why? Because you are a lover of pleasure rather than a lover of God himself. The pleasure is a little dopamine release when you have the latest, greatest intel, the newest sensational conspiracy theory, and you get a dopamine release just like anybody else does. And it's insatiable, and you need more and more and more. And you dig deeper and deeper and deeper. This is a lover of pleasure rather than lover of God. See, God himself isn't sufficient for you. Being a good husband and a father isn't sufficient for you. Being a productive member of your culture isn't sufficient for you. Being actively engaged in your own neighborhood or your coworkers at work isn't sufficient for you. You need more. It's no different than a guy with a porn addiction, which, by the way, if you have one, stop it. Like, dude, there is nothing that offends me more than a dude who says he struggles with porn. And it's like, you are actively participating in global child sex trafficking and ritualistic sacrifice. Stop it now. It has no place. Anyone among you who is sexually immoral, impure, or greedy, such a man as an idolater, ought not think he has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. So anyone among you who claims to be a brother or claims to be in the faith of Jesus Christ and you're looking at porn, you are gravely mistaken. You're in open adultery against your wife. You're in open warfare against the Most High God. And you're openly undergirding ritualistic child sacrifice and all the pedophilia of the Democrats that you say you stand against. You are a willing, gleeful participant with one click. Okay, can I get that out of the way? Amen. So anyways, I say all that to say that dopamine release for the sensational conspiratorial side of the house is the exact same as a person who's into pornography or in a person who's popping their Percocets or their Xanax every day when they get home from work. Same thing. It's just a different outlet. It's just a more socially acceptable outlet, but it's the exact same mechanism.
And you know, here's once again, one of my problems with this is that, you know, we're dividing the church. Hey guys, I don't know if you know this, but like the Church of Jesus Christ is not big. It's not big.
No.
When judgment comes to America, and I think we're in judgment right now, but when the bad side of judgment comes to America, all these people at these mega million churches, yeah, man, they're not going to be there for salvation. They're going to be there to be fed by people. They're not going there to be fed by Christ. They're going there because they'll have a chip in the hand or in their head, and that's where they're told to, you know, meet up once a week to get their rations. I see the division of the church, and you know, we can only speak about America because that's really the only churches I've ever been to is in America. I've been to churches outside other places, but not like to go worship. And I see this BS of all these different conspiracy theories, Trump, worrying about politics, and, you know, you're worried about flat earth, you're worried about MAGA country, you're worried about this, you're worried about that. Hey, you know what? Just a question. Do you have 2 weeks worth of food? Nope, God will take care of me. Well, where's your faith then, right? Where's your faith? Because people will have faith in flat earth. They'll have faith in Trump. They'll have faith you know, and all these other things, they'll say, oh, well, you know, I don't need to prep for all this other stuff. How many different passages in the Bible says prep? Why did Joseph do it for 7 years? You know, the whole Bible tells you, be prepared for something. Just have something on the offhand in case you can eat so that you don't have to, you know, eat your children as they do a couple times in some of these siege warfares, or sell yourself into prostitution, which was happening in Nazi Germany all the way up until the 50s, late 40s, 50s. Mm-hmm. You know, children, the average was between 11 and 16, and the families would send the children to the American and other soldiers to be prostituted or to other men so that they could come back and feed their families.
For food. Yeah, it's all for food.
You know what I mean? We take so, and this reason why I harp on history. If we don't pay attention to the conspiracies, to the cults, if we don't pay attention to the bad science, if we don't pay attention to the megalomaniacs that have become dictators and tyrants, we're going to do it again. And people get so landslided. Whenever something happens, it's like they're falling off a mountain. I can't believe this is happening. And, you know, guys like me and Jamie have been sitting around saying, we told you to prepare. We told you to look out for these people. We told you don't get yoked up to these people. And you did it anyways. But that's always been the problem, as far as I can read now, you know, as a member of the body of Christ. That's always been the problem, is that we get so stretched from our faith with God that the only way sometimes for God to bring us back is through calamity.
Yeah. And usually it is, you know, that's the Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and curses, you know, and all throughout scripture. And again, going back to the spirit of the last church age, it is all centered around narcissism, complacency, and comfort. They are lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, but their faulty self-actualization says, I'm wealthy and in need of nothing. Who are you to tell me that I'm missing it? And yet they've never taken the time to ask the Lord, Lord, how do you see me? And he says, actually, you're wretched, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. And I'm counseling you to repent and return to me, right? And so you see scriptures in Proverbs 1 and elsewhere that speak woe over the complacent. Woe to the complacency. The complacency of fools destroys them. Woe to you who have rejected knowledge. Woe to you who have a lack of prudence. You know, the wise man foresees danger coming and plans accordingly, but the fool goes on and suffers for it. You know, you have the story of the 10 virgins, right? Waiting for the bridegroom, waiting for the second coming of Christ. But in their complacency, their narcissism, their love of self and love of pleasure, they don't care to really prepare, and they really don't care to be vigilant for the coming of the Lord. So they themselves are compromised spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And when the bridegroom comes, and they say, give us a store of your oil so that we can stay awake in the night. Give us some of all your vigilance and all your selfless sacrifice and all the things you've done. They are commanded, no, you cannot have it. And in fact, you are no longer invited into the wedding feast with the bridegroom. Says the door is shut and there is weeping and gnashing of teeth outside the door, right? So you do see this precedence. And so there's so many different distractions pulling at people's attention right now. And whether it's the left-right paradigm, the conservative liberal paradigm, the American globalist paradigm, the nationalist versus globalist paradigm, the black-white, the straight gay, the whatever paradigm they can divide you on, flat versus spherical cosmos, it's insane. But actually, it's not insane, dude. You and I know as tacticians, it's genius. I mean, that's what I would do, right? Like, it doesn't, you don't, it's you don't have to.
Psychological warfare.
Yeah. You don't have to really think outside the box. All you have to think is like a little bratty junior high girl, and you can easily rip a house apart. Hey, you can rip it apart. It's so simple.
Let me do a cop lingo story. And for any other cops that are out there that are listening, tell me if you've ever done this. Have you ever had somebody inside a room who won't come out, and you don't have a canine? So you go to YouTube and you play the vicious, you know, Malmois, and you just hold it in the back part of the hallway, and all they can hear is just the loose bark. Rawr, 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 rawr. If you don't come out, we're going to send in the dog typically people come out, they don't want to be torn apart by the dog. And that's psychological warfare. They walk out, they get tackled and handcuffed. Where's the dog at? Ah, jackass, there's no dog. You know, that is being done on a industrial scale to Americans. People are so worried about everything to the extent that you don't know what to worry about. You don't know what to focus on. You have no focus. And I think, you know, and hey, man, I was guilty of this probably, Jamie, just a couple weeks ago, being so focused on the corruption of the FBI, I stopped praying for a couple of days. You know, I'm looking up articles about the FBI. I'm looking up articles about this, articles about that, addicted to my phone, and I had to put it down. The other night, I had about a three-hour prayer walk, and I've never felt better in my life.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
isn't it cool, bro? I mean, I just think of the intimacy of the Lord with those with ears to hear. Or he says, do not be overcome by the anxieties and the dissipations of this life. So that day will come upon you unaware. He's like, don't do it. Don't get sucked into the anxieties and dissipations. Go do a word study on both those words. He's like, because that day it'll come upon you unaware if you get sucked into that stuff. But it's like, rather be sober minded, hyper vigilant, and eager anticipation, awake in the third and fourth watch of the night. You know what it's like to be on fire watch. You know, the kick in the gut in the middle fire watch. You know, there's usually a good expletive after that, right? Like fire watch B, get up. Like it's, and you have that. Oh, it was horrible, bro. You know, like that 3 to 4 a.m. fire watch or whatever, it's the third and fourth watch of the night. It's the darkest dark of the night. You're the sleepiest you could ever be sleepy. And yet you are commanded by your general orders to remain on watch and hypervigilant at the third and fourth watch of the night, because that's generally the darkest. And that's when the enemy can move about most freely, right? But it's also the darkest point right before the light dawns and a new day bursts forth. So there's a lot of biblical language, scriptural language, all contained within that. And so it is like, it's easy to get sucked into the anxieties and dissipations and the information and the intel and the whatever. And we negate the only thing that the true preparation that has value is your preparation for standing in the presence of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Holy One of all of Israel, the Lord God Almighty. That is the true and better preparation. And as a part of that true and better preparation, spiritually and emotionally, there is the physical, tangible component of that preparation as well, too. It's the preparation to be a light in a dark place. It's to be an asset instead of a liability. It's to hold out the word of life and the word of truth in a dark and crooked and perverse generation as you shine like bright shining stars from everlasting to everlasting. It's practical preparation that when the whole world is unhinged, you have done the spiritual preparation. Your roots are grown down deep in the streams of living water, Jesus Christ. You have physically prepared, so you're able to be a defender and a protector of the weak and the innocent and the least of these. You have food to hand out and pray that the Lord would supernaturally multiply it like the fish and loaves to feed the masses so that their hearts are ripe to hear the eternal life-saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, this is what it's all about. Doug, good transition. Doug and I are getting ready to do this training course out in Tennessee, Teleco Plains, Tennessee, in just 2 weeks, bro. I really need to start getting prepared, right? So we're getting ready to hold this training event where we're teaching tactics, techniques, and procedures that are effectual for the lay person, for the civilian, for the family member, for the wife, for the teenage girl, whoever it is, to be adequately trained, to be safe and effective in the use and the conduct of deploying a firearm into defense of life. It's not about a bloodlust. It's not about an offensive nature. It's about being an asset and not a liability to the world and the community around you. To be the only one who's willing to stand up when everybody else is on their faces cowering. To be the only one who brings forward a cool, calm, collective middle of great emergencies to bring in a source of stability to organize and manage people and equip them to see them through to the backside of a major, maybe their worst day in their life, right? It's to adequately train. We got to restart there?
No, nope. Just pick back up.
Okay. I'll splice it. Yeah. So this training evolution, it's designed to adequately equip you to be an asset to the people around you, to your home first, to your neighbor and your community or your church body next, and to the lost and dying world around you third. So it is all intrinsic. You can't, it's symbiotic, right? You can't divorce the spiritual from the emotional. Oh, sorry, from the spiritual to the emotional to the physical. And so if you're weak in one area, the whole thing falls apart. So this is why even like I enjoy doing shows with Doug is because we cover the tangible. We cover, the news. We cover current events. We cover the spiritual. And then we cover the practical and the tactical as well, too. Because it's all interrelated so that you can be a blessing and not a curse. So that you are adequately, emotionally, physically, and spiritually sound and secure and steadfast to hold out truth, life-saving truth in a time of great need to the people around you. You know, I'm getting ready to probably deploy to Ukraine here. I got to pray about it more. I've been asked to lead a team in to Kiev. It's a little bit touch and go, you know. Russia's getting ready to do a major offensive. But you know what our mission set is? Let me tell you the simplicity of our mission set. Our mission set is to go and provide medical care in a combat zone and play with children because their minds are broken. They're under PTSD, the likes of which they can never see. People aren't reporting that there's been 191,000 Ukrainians killed, are missing in action, are wounded, up to 50,000 Russian troops killed, and the civilian death toll nobody even knows. This is a mega war going on, and nobody's talking about it. So our mission set is simple. See, I have to have the emotional, physical, and tactical proficiency to be able to go into a hot zone like that. Why? To play with children. To remind them that they're children. To remind them that they can smile and that they can have joy. To remind them that there's hope. To hold out the word of truth. I have to have the proper prior planning to be able and to train for the fight that I'm not yet in. So when the call comes and they say, hey, Jamie, would you be willing to lead a team into Ukraine? We have a window of opportunity. We can get you in there. Would you take a team in there? Because you have the skill set to go be a blessing, not a curse. Like, this is what it's all about at the end of the day.
Well, Jamie, you've done this multiple times. You know,
yeah, it sucks every time, but it's also amazingly blessed every time.
And people don't understand when you do stuff like this for other people, you leave your family potentially for the last time because you're walking
every time
before. And the thing that, you know, Ukraine is filled with mines. People, when's the last time you walked through a minefield, bro?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, I skull dragged an SOI, and that's about it, right?
Yeah. we uncovered a few mines in northern Fallujah, and I just remember, like, you know, around like some old like a goat path near like the Euphrates and stuff, and we're like, holy crap, there's a mine. And then your mind goes back to buddies that are on base walking around, you know, hit down with no leg, stepped on a mine. You know, and you're going to a place, bro, filled with it. You're going to a place filled with snipers. Remember Kanas, snipers. You're going to a place that's filled with, you know, evil. It's the third most corrupt nation in the world. It's where one of the most amount of child snuff films are filmed in. Is Ukraine.
Enter the Hunter Biden laptop. If anybody is wondering, it's not just about the payoffs to China. Yeah. It's about what's really going on in Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, and there are people who that's their stronghold. They'll kill families to keep their stronghold.
Oh yeah,
you know, and you know what, you know. Now you and I have to have a conversation after this, but you know what you're walking into, and there's some serious intel gathering that needs to be done.
I said, that's why I got to be in prayer about it. I got asked and I felt the heartstrings getting pulled. And it's like, but if I go in there, see that again, this goes back to practical preparedness. If I go in there thinking my skill set is what's going to carry me through, I'm wrong. It's not, it's the Lord Almighty who goes before me that will prepare the way for me. So I can't go off of my logic. I can't go off of my past experience. I can't go off of my skill set. It has to be the symbiotic nature of the Lord in me by the power of the Holy Spirit made manifest physically in the things that he's worked out in my life, or he's allowed me to be a part of. When they all come together, that's when you see a people who's effectual. So getting back to, you know, the training event that we're getting ready to host. You know, we're going to be covering things like threat identification, right? Basic pistol, basic combat rifle, the familiarization and the comfortability with your own weapon system. Again, so that you're not a liability, you're an asset. There's so many people that own firearms. And dude, are you, it's the most dangerous thing. You know, I got my buddy out here just got shot, you know, like that's the first time I've had a dude in training get shot, and it's out here on a property in Colorado. And luckily I had a blowout kit in my truck and was like, let's get in and go. I don't know what's going on internally, and he's recovered it, but it took about 3 to 6 months for him to recover. But like, dude, it's scary to be around people that have firearms that aren't adequately trained. I'm not saying he wasn't adequately trained. It's a negligent discharge. Crap happens, right? So what our goal and our focus is for this training evolution in Tennessee is to prepare the lay person to be an asset, not a liability, to be a sheepdog and not a wolf, to be a protector and a defender, not to have a bloodlust, not to be a gun runner, not to be an operator. It's to be an asset. And so we're going to cover things like low light, you know, low light shooting, pistol, rifle, shooting in confined spaces, moving through a hostile environment with good situational awareness, right? Basic scenario based trainings. Yeah, a lot of teamwork, right?
A lot of teamwork. There's going to be a lot of airsoft gun training where, you know, we're going to teach you how to actually go after somebody. And that's something that you're not going to get, you know, from two guys with combat experience and law enforcement experience. We're going to teach you how to do it the way we do it. And it's right. Because, hey, man, if you wake up in the middle of your night and there's someone who just broke into your home, I hope you're ready. I hope you're trained, because the last thing I need is for you to be standing there bleeding with your gun jammed going, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen too many of the reports. I've seen too many of my guys, even security guards that we used to go out and we would help manage these multi-million-dollar security guard companies for the government. And we'd be out there, you know, and we were grading how they're shooting. We're out there making sure that they go through the entire course of fire that, you know, hey, if you fail, you're off the range, Jack, you know, go surrender your gun. And, you know, you'd see guys out there, bang, 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 slide lock back, and then they just stand there, and everybody else is doing magazine exchanges, and this one guy's just standing here, and he's a prior veteran, right? I don't want to pick on anybody, but he wasn't all there. But that's a guy who's been hired as security, has worked security for I don't know how many years, and now that he's in front of me, I'm sitting here going, what are you doing with your gun? I don't know. Reload your gun. It's an emergency reload. Take your little magazine out, drop the other one, and go back to firing. And I'm like, you're a grown-ass man. I have to say this to you. When did you retire from the military? You retired 20 years in the military and you still don't know how to do this?
So, yeah, that's loose language anyways, that people assume that if you're in the military, that somehow you're equipped in combat arms. It's not true.
It's not.
And we all know that it's dependent upon your MOS. I'd say 95% of military personnel are administrative or logistics based, if even that. And I know in the Marine Corps, the stat was, it was very high in the Marine Corps, and it's 18%. Only 18% of Marines are combat effective, 18%. And so it's very, very small percentage. Anyway, side note. So yeah, that's why the training is important. And there's a lot of people that would take issue with, you know, I'm a pastor and a preacher and a teacher. That's primarily what the Lord's calling me to, but I also have these other skill sets that the Lord uses. And a lot of people would take issue and say, those two cannot go together. You cannot be taking up the sword. You know, those who die by the sword, live by the sword, die by the sword. And all these perversions of basic scriptural truths that speak into mercenary work and blah, 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 and all these different things. What they don't understand and what they choose to negate is God's natural law, which is to be a lover of life, to be of a warrior spirit. It speaks in 1st and 2nd Samuel about the men of valor whose hearts the Lord had touched. Being a warrior is actually a gifting listed all throughout scripture that the church won't touch. A warrior spirit is a particular gifting for the body, just like a watchman is, just like the gift of prophecy is, just like the gift of speaking in tongues, just like the gifts of hospitality is. These are all giftings that are given by the Lord to be returned to him for his glory. And so most people don't understand that even that warrior spirit and being a man of valor is a particular gifting all throughout scripture that is used for the edification of the body and for the deliverance of souls that are in bondage, deep bondage, from the machinations of the powers of darkness through the hands of lawless, sinful men, to take life, to snuff out life, to destroy life, to tear down, to rip apart families, to create great sorrow and mourning that the world, that most people can't even understand. We've all been a part of it. Doug and I have been a part of it. But it is actually a very particular gifting that needs to be returned to the Lord with the right spirit, a warrior spirit. And warriors do what they do. They sacrifice, they bleed, they sweat, they train, they go without sleep. They do all these things that nobody else is willing to do. A warrior does what they do because of love. So love and a warrior spirit are symbiotic. They cannot be divorced. That's why the God is love, period. The Lord is a warrior. That is his name, period. The Lord is a warrior and the Lord is love. Is. He literally is the embodiment of it. The two are symbiotic. And so I say, let us be obedient to walk in that right spirit of what it means to be a warrior, not a soldier. I didn't say soldier. That's a very weak representation. I said a warrior. And a warrior is defined by his posture, by his character, by his ethos, by his codes of conduct, and by his selfless sacrifice so that others might live. No greater love is there than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you obey my commands. That axiom, that warrior class axiom, that battlefield axiom was coined by the true and better warrior, Jesus Christ. The Son of Man was made manifest for this reason, 1 John 3:8. That he might destroy the works of the evil one. Why was Christ made manifest, veiled in flesh? To go to war. You think I came to bring peace? I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Why? Because I love you. That's why. I came to fight because I love you. I came to destroy evil and wickedness because I love you. See, that's the warrior spirit. I came for love's sake. And I proved it to you because I withheld nothing. I laid down my life even while you were my enemies. And I allowed you to become my righteousness, and I took your sin. I became sin itself so that you might become the righteousness of God. Only a warrior can do that. Only a warrior could go to the first century torture device and never cry out. Everybody tracking who Jesus Christ is? He is not what the Catholic Church and all the Protestant offshoots have made him out to be. Some weak, pathetic guy to be trampled on. He is the King of glory, a warrior King of glory. And the next time you see him face to face, he rides out in justice and judgment on his white horse for one reason, to make war. That's the next time you see him. Why? Because of love. True and better love that most people don't understand. So sorry, man, I get into preacher mode, but like, if you don't understand the why you train, then you won't understand. If you think it's about some Second Amendment rah-rah thing, you are so dead wrong. If you think it's about upholding constitutional liberties and being willing, you are so dead wrong. I'm not saying those things don't have value. I value them. I value the tenets of the foundations of America. But if that's why you're doing it, you're dead wrong. That is the broken cistern. It's about such a higher understanding of why you train, why you practically prepare, why you train for the fight you're not yet in, why you consecrate your life to the Lord, why you remove sin and hindrances and encumbrances and dissipations and anxieties. There's such a higher reason why. And most people just don't freaking get it, man. And so they bite on to all these other carnal temporal movements instead of rooting themselves and the gospel of Jesus Christ. They just don't get it.
You know, I mean, it makes me take a look back at Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. You know, and people always say, well, you know, that's for people who are walking around trying to, you know, just keep the peace. No, there's a peacekeeper and then there's a peacemaker.
Maker. Very distinct. Maker
of the peace. You know, that's like having the flail in one hand and the shepherd's staff in the other, right?
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that I hope people will come out. We still have seats available. You know, call readymaderesources.com. You can go to readymaderesources.com, go up to the very top, click on the banner, and it'll lead you up to where you can go and log in at $650. $600 is divided between me and Jamie, or Jamie and myself, for those of you who are snobs. And and $50 goes to Robert Griswold to run the generators and you know, bringing in a bunch of stuff. And you know, I mean, this is also what you're going to get is fellowship. You're going to get to sit around, pick our minds, you know, what type of gear, what type of training, why this, why not that, hands-on the type of gear that we use and why. And I'll be bringing a bunch of stuff out for people to, you know, to experience and play around with. The room clearing tactics, will be going through a huge history of active shooters. You know, I don't like the idea, Jamie, of people walking around saying, I need your oil. Anybody else have spare oil? You know, right now our oil is our knowledge. And I don't want to hold it all within myself. I want to be able to share it while we still can, man. I was just reading a story yesterday of a young woman who was kidnapped, you know, just out of the blue, kidnapped, a very well-to-do woman. I don't want to get into it. And, you know, it was heartbreaking because you're like, I have skills I know that I could use to track that person down. I hope law enforcement does what they need to as soon as possible. And then at the same point in time, I sat there and asked myself, if she had a gun on her hip, she wouldn't have been kidnapped. You know, she may have been killed at the scene, but she wouldn't have been kidnapped. That's not the way to go. Because the kidnapping always leads to the rape scene, to the murder scene.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's just, yeah, that's just the beginning of it. And it is hard. And that's why it's so important for people to take it seriously. And it's like, again, to be an asset, not a liability. That's what I always break it down to. Are you an asset? Are you a liability? So are you physically fit? Are you emotionally fit? Mm-hmm. Are you spiritually fit? Mm-hmm. You know, I just saw this article about this pastor, which I actually think is genius. He started a camp. I can't remember where it's at, somewhere. I don't know. It's in CONUS, right? But he started a camp and it was centered around persecution, preparing the next generation for persecution. So it was this Christian camp and it would be kind of like a sensory immersion type of training where, you know, they would, you know, come into the cabins in the middle of the night acting like, you know, Muslims, which is our brothers and sisters in Iran and Iraq and Syria, are facing all day long, their house getting kicked in the middle of the night with these Muslims getting ready to murder them, and they would have to run and flee, right? And so this camp was centered around all this resiliency training, preparing the Gen Zers for persecution in the church. And you want to know what the church did? They freaking hung this guy out to dry as if he was some sadistic, sadist, freak show, abuser of children. So it goes to show you how pathetic our resiliency is in America.
Military culture. Does the same training.
Yeah. And I thought, I'm like, when I was reading the beginning of the article, I didn't know where it was leading. I'm like, praise God for this guy. Praise God for this guy equipping the church. Praise God for having people show like where your faith is weak. Okay, we need to shore that up. Or like, mm-hmm. Hey, you need to remember the promises of God. Or, hey, you need to remember you were foretold these things. Hey, remember if you suffer with Christ, you're unified with them. Like, to prepare people to have the emotional resiliency and spiritual resiliency to be an asset, even to the glory of God, right? But no, that wasn't it. It was a smear campaign to destroy this guy and basically have him arrested for child abuse. And I'm like, dude, we are so screwed, man. We are so screwed. the church does not talk about suffering. It does not talk about selflessness and sacrifice. It does not talk about laying down your life. It does not talk about the appropriate meekness, setting aside your rights and serving other people. It does not talk about laying down your life. It does not talk about any of these things. It's all about life 2.0, an upgrade. Come into the faith and you'll have an upgrade. Jesus will be an upgrade to your life. It can be a new Instagram post for your pathetic reality, right? So anyways, I mean, I could talk about this forever. I don't want to belabor the point. Point is the training has value because we are emotionally pathetic. The church is spiritually emaciated and lukewarm, and the Lord's going to spit us out of our mouth. And physically, we are a liability. We're overweight slobs that do not want to experience discomfort. I just hosted this huge event out here at our camp in Colorado, and it was so unbelievably blessed. It was supernaturally blessed in the Lord. He totally showed up. But you know what's crazy? And this is what breaks my heart, is how many people wouldn't come because they would have to camp at an all-inclusive camp, all-inclusive in the beauty and perfection of the Rocky Mountains, where they're catered to and all the food's provided for. And there's all this entertainment, you know, to feed their flesh and activities to do. They wouldn't come because they would have to camp for 2 nights. Do you want to talk about a scary state for our nation to be in? They won't even sleep in a glamping tent, a glamorous campsite. They wouldn't sleep in it because they couldn't have the perfection of pleasure every second of their day. They refused the gathering of the saints and the encouraging one another and watching the Lord work in their lives because of camping. That's scary, dude.
And, you know, we have these same people who say that they're ready for a civil war.
Yep, I know, man. Talk it. Dude, let me touch on that. We won't break in the Civil War because you probably have to cut this up into 2 episodes, right?
Because hold on, this will be the last thing we do before we go, because L.A. Marzulli's on after you. So I want you to listen to what MSNBC's host just said, because I have buddies of mine in DHS who just text me saying, what in the heck is going on right now? I want you to comment on what we're about to watch, because I think it's, you know, somewhere between terrifying and I don't know, man. People are ready for what they say. Here, let's see.
Well, also, you have to understand that if they do try to mobilize to violent action, like the person did last week in Cincinnati, or someone tried earlier this week in Pittsburgh and he was arrested, there are consequences for those actions. You could be arrested for making threats, and you clearly will be arrested if you try to attack FBI personnel or like in the case of the Cincinnati person, attack an FBI field office. So this is not a consequence-free thing that people are engaged in, and if they're willing to go to the extreme levels, there will be consequences for that action.
You're saying, Tone, we have to deal with the rhetoric. And, you know, I agree with you, but it's not really rhetoric we can deal with. I mean, you have millions of people tuning into a propaganda network every night. And then, as if that were not bad enough, that's an extremist network itself. You have these fringe pop-up outlets, you know, from OWN to Newsmax. Then you have the social media component. That train has left the station. There is no let's deal with the rhetoric. At this point, I do think we have to have serious conversations around preparing for actual violence. People keep saying a civil war is coming. I would say a civil war is here. And I don't mean to be hyperbolic. We can look at what has happened just in the past week alone. Since all this has happened, we've had 2 people try to declare war with FBI field offices. Don't think at this point we're going to all pack up our bags and go home and sing kumbaya. So from a law enforcement angle, what would you recommend the infrastructure of the country do? Because not everybody has the security of Capitol Hill.
Well, bless her heart. Bless her heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Antifa and BLM haven't declared war on the United States for the last.
Like the FBI and the DOJ didn't declare war on everybody who's not a pedophile tranny.
Yeah. Oh, hold on.
Who wants to shout their abortion. Like they didn't declare war on all the families singing. I was there January 6th. All the families singing and worshiping and praising God or singing patriotic songs with children. They declared war on all, dude. It's delusional, right? It's insanity. So, Yeah. I mean, here's the thing though about Civil War. I want to deal with this honestly and head on. Even for, you know, your audience, you know, and it attracts a particular personality, is you're lying to yourself that you think you're ready for it. Because I've had my finger on the pulse of the American, and especially even the patriotic conservative, right? They are all bark and no bite. You want to know why? Because it's genius. This is a strategy of the global elite and of the occultism. You have too much to lose. I saw it at January 6th. As soon as the narrative got spun in negative, all the rah-rah patriots shut down because they have too much to lose. The conservative right base, I'll tell you what, the Antifa freak show BLM, they have no inhibitions. They're demonically inspired. They're demonically infused. They already want to murder and sodomize and obliterate little children. They want to slaughter babies. They want to tear down and burn. They are adept at civil war. The conservative base, Second Amendment people, I'm telling you what, it is the greatest faulty self-actualization that I've ever seen. And this is coming from a guy who's Marine Corps infantry. This is coming from a guy who's law enforcement. This is coming from a guy who operated at federal law enforcement for a time with the U.S. Marshals. This is coming from a guy who is all about these issues. I'm telling you, the faulty self-actualization of the conservative is a fool's errand to say that they are ready for a civil war. They will not rise to the challenge. I assure you of that because I talk to them every day and it's all talk. But the wicked right, the demonically inspired demoncrats on the left, they are more than equipped and funded and inspired spiritually and emotionally to carry out the most gruesome acts of violence ever. Well, and our federal agencies have been weaponized. So yeah, literally everything has been weaponized against a people group, which would be the conservative right. They have been weaponized against the conservative right that will not sacrifice even 2 hours of their paycheck would they give up for anybody else. It's all about maintaining their status quo. They will go along to get along with any government edict that comes up, and then they'll just whine about it on social media. That's all they'll ever do.
Or they'll stand out in front of whatever protest and they'll make a really cool meme out of it.
Yeah, if they're even willing to do that.
That's how the freedom of America dies, one sarcastic meme at a time.
Yeah. You know, it's a love of pleasure. It's a love of self. The conservative base has counted the cost of standing up and they found it to be too high. They will not stand up. They just want Tucker Carlson to do it for them. And they want Alex Jones to do it for them. They want everybody else to do it for them. They will not stick their neck out for anything. They want that paycheck and they want that pension and they want that IRA. They'll do anything to maintain it. Same with the majority of guys in law enforcement. They totally disagree. I would say 90% of men in law enforcement are conservative leaning. They will not stand up against their wicked overlords and their captains and their chiefs or their whatever they are, their department heads. They will not, because it's all about that retirement. Will not compromise. You know, they will never. All these FBI agents hate what they're being commanded to do, but they will never sacrifice that pension for anything. That pension, I know, is God in
law enforcement agents. Starting off as a GS-13, you know, I mean, just within a couple, you're starting off at $100,000. And depending on what, you know, if you live in DC or LA, or if you live in, especially like New York or Dallas, Houston,
you're
the 115s, 120s.
Starting pay. Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you ruin that? Right. Just shut up and get along, you know, sign the warrant, serve the warrant, smile, take your take home. You're a good American. You're a great American. Shine that badge a little bit. I'll see you tomorrow, patriot. Yep. You know, that's the way they treat them.
And just like the Nazi brown shirts, they go, hey, I'm just following orders. I'm just doing my duty and following orders. And so it's the same old axiom, right? The love of money is the root of all evil. And that pension and that IRA and all your little actuaries to get an extra $30 a month you know, at age 65. And then when I get my Social Security, this is how much. That love of money is why the good and the moral and the generally God fearing, God leaning, biblically leaning personality, our citizens in America, they will never, ever, ever speak up, because the root of their evil is their love of money. They will never stand up. They will never speak up. They will never compromise even 1 hour of overtime. They will never, dude. I know I'm belaboring it. It's because I'm super passionate about it, because I've seen it too many times. They see the wickedness, they see the corruption, they see the atrocities, and they hate it. And then they just swallow it because I'm only 12 years away from that pension. I'm only 18 years away from that. That's literally, dude, you know, what's the talk every day on patrol is about when they can maximize their, I just got to do my, it's like a prison sentence. And they are, they're a slave to the lender. They are a slave to the government. They are a slave to the financial system. They are a slave to the sin of money, to the evil of money. They are lovers of it. And that's all anybody talks about from their first 3 years on the job, is their actuary of the perfection and maximization of their pension when they retire. That's the whole goal. It's not about law enforcement. It's not about greater good. It's not community-oriented policing. It's not about changing and impacting lives. It's about stacking the deck to maximize the pension. So now switching to the FBI, this is why FBI agents, which I have several buddies from the Marine Corps that are now in the FBI, they will not go against the status quo. They will arrest every innocent conservative they have to, because it's all about making a name for themselves to make the next grade to increase their pension. But everybody tracking.
But yet they agree with the people they're arresting.
But they're they absolutely agree with the person they're arresting. But it's all about getting noticed by their command for the next promotion, for the increase in the pension. Mm-hmm. So they don't care. They are very black and white. There is no gray. It's my command told me to carry this out. It's so wrong. It's so vain. Even like the raid on Mar-a-Lago, like they know they will carry it out. Yeah. Aye, sir. Good to go, sir. I'm on it, sir. So they can make that net. So they can make the caller. They can make the arrest so that they can stack the deck for the next promotion and for the pension. And you know, being in that culture, federal law enforcement, am I misspeaking here?
No.
Like, am I off?
Oh, I thought like that.
It's all that way. You will do whatever it takes to get noticed by your command.
Yeah. For 10 years, all I thought was 10 years and I'm done. 10 years and I'm done. And then I'll go work at Bass Pro Shops and get my 25% discount on buying guns.
Yep. That's it, man.
And laugh at how I can't wait to be done with law enforcement. Everybody in law enforcement says that I can't wait to be done with, you know how many times I said I should have been a firefighter.
That's why I became a firefighter, bro. Because I got tired of saying it. And I'm like, dude, I'm just going to go for it. Because
those guys have such a nice life compared to us. Hey man, you talk about turn the tables. You want cops coming after you, or you want the guy with the hose and the axe coming after you?
Yeah. Right.
it's a paradigm and there's no avoiding it. We are going to go through it. Not all of us are going to make it out. It just is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
That's the ugly truth.
I just want people to have an authentic, truthful conversation with themselves about having counted the cost. Because this whole Civil War hyperbole stuff, it's going to happen. But I don't think there's going to be much of a war. I think there's just going to be a boot on the neck of decent moral citizens. I don't think there's going to be a civil war because we love our sense of comfort. It is just like the German citizens. Did you know that Hitler only voted 2-3% of the German populace support?
Yeah.
Do people know that? The German people wanted nothing to do with the Nazi Socialist Party, nothing to do with it, but they wanted to maintain their quality of life. Mm-hmm. And so because they wanted to maintain their quality of life, and then Hitler implements the brown shirts, that's our Department of Justice, the state, the Department of Injustice, right? He had his brown shirts. governments that would do whatever it took because they were scared of the retribution of a few at the top of the Nazi Party. So it was all a fear-based control. The German people totally disagreed with everything about Nazism, but they wanted to preserve their, what's the axiom everybody keeps using? We want to get back to normal. We just need to get back to normal. Whatever it takes to get back to normal.
Yeah, this they too want, shall pass. Yeah.
Yep. They wanted to maintain their sense of normal. So when they're rounding up the Jews, when they have the night of broken glasses, when they have the night of the long knives, when they're doing, they just keep turning their eye, keep turning their eye, keep turning their eye. When they started disarming the citizenry through socialized healthcare, they disarm the German populace. Hello, Obamacare. Like they just like, just as long as I can maintain my degree of normalcy, whatever it takes to maintain my degree of normalcy, there was never an uprising. And, there was never a civil war. There was never a pushback.
And after they took the guns, Hitler said, finally, the first country in the world, we don't have guns. Law enforcement takes care of everything. It's utopia. It was law enforcement who took them to the concentration camps.
Yes. It was law enforcement who created a fear-based state where to speak out against your government or your neighbor or against any decisions ever being. Hello. That's what that, what was that? CNNBC, MSNBC. What was that reprobate talking about that video clip you saw? Like that, that's where they're not taking us. We're already there. And that's why the sensationalism language of civil war from the conservative rah-rah Oath Keepers, Second Amendment, dude, I have very little tolerance for it. It's, they will not do it. I saw it on January 6th. I saw the most amazing, organic, authentic move of people who were filled with joy, not violence, not hate, not discontent. I didn't hear people screaming cuss words. It was 1.2 million people singing and enjoying each other and being happy that there was still a hope for America. And I saw as soon as the media twisted the narrative, all these tough, good old boys and all these ranchers and farmers and conservative and they'll never take my guns. They went into hiding like a bunch of rats fleeing a sinking ship instead of going, no, that's a lie. No, I was there. No, I saw it. No, now's the time to restore what America has historically stood for. No, man, as soon as they thought that they were going to be ostracized at work by a BLM member or by a trainee.
Or when CNN was going after everybody, yep, and disclosing everybody. Yeah. Well, hey,
they shut down, man.
We've ran out of time. Listen, yeah. if you want to hear conversations more like this, leave it in the comments below. If you want to have a conversation like this with me and Jamie around the campfire and a little bit of, you know, barbecue or, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers, whatever it is we decided we're going to cook that day out there for the training, go to readymaderesources.com. The training is at the top. Click on the banner and then sign up. You won't regret it. You will walk away with so much knowledge and confidence. You'll know it'll be worth it. Hopefully me and Jamie will be able to continue to put these type of things out, these type of trainings out. Please support Jamie. You know, Jamie, can you tell people where they can go to support you and what you do? And by the way, before I do that, I actually just want to say something. Let the favor of the Lord, our God, be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Psalm 90:17. May God establish the work of your hands and bless you, Jamie.
Yeah, thanks, shit, brother. I appreciate that. Yeah, if anybody wants to get a hold of me, they can get a hold of me through omegadynamics.org or calicobuffalobasecamp.com. So either one is, I don't know what I do for life. I just do whatever the Lord tells me to. So I got multiple like strange things going on all at the same time. So yeah.
Yeah, so
that's it, man.
Yeah, make sure you support Jamie. And look, guys, just prepare. Train, prep, and pray. We say it all the time. Continue to train, continue to prep. Don't forget to pray. Stay frosty. The enemy's out there. I'm Doug Thornton. This is Jamie Walden. We're out of here. all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.